Bibles with you. If you don't, I'm sure there's a screen up there. They'll have it on there in a minute. Last week, I started talking about the anointing. What is the anointing? And I shared with you in the beginning of the year, the Lord just really put on my heart that Acts 10:38 was a key verse for me and for us. And I really didn't see how it all fit until the last couple months of just getting in our leadership meetings, on our staff meetings on Monday mornings, and just hearing the Lord giving us more and more clear just passion for living and what the anointing is. So I'm just going to quote it to you and then stay in Acts 10:38. For God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus was a man that walked this earth. Yes, he was God, but as we talked a lot about last week, Jesus gave away his rights to be God, to be man on this earth. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God both. But when he was on this earth, he walked as a man. And so he had to receive from God the anointing to go forth. We talked about Luke 4 when he received that and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor, bind up the broken heart, heal those and set people free. And that was his call and commission on this earth. And he has called us to do the same thing because he has anointed us. So God anointed this Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, doing good, healing all those that oppress the devil, for God was with him. The same God who was with Jesus is with us today, anointing us today to go around, do good, and heal all those that are oppressed by the devil. Amen? So we talked about that last week. We talked a little bit about our commission. The anointing is for. It's to separate us, to call us forth, to set us into a place where God anointed the kings, he anointed the prophets, and there was an anointing that released them and separated them and called them forth. It empowers us. Isaiah 10:27, it's the yoke-destroying, bondage-breaking power of God that's within us to transform us, to change us, so we can make a transference to the kingdom of God into darkness so we can see people get set free themselves. We are to become that so we can go forth and do what God's called us to do. It teaches us, 1 John 2:27, we are anointed from the Holy One, and we have no man that teaches you. The Holy Spirit and the anointing of God will teach you how to function. But with all those things we talked about last week, that was a quick review, wasn't it? Whew. With those things last week, we talked about each one of us had been anointed by God to go forth and to heal the sick, bind up the broken, preach the gospel to the poor, to have physical miracles, signs and wonders following us. And we've been all individually anointed by God to go. And I wrote this in my notes after last Sunday, and I forgot to say it. It says, we were saved to be anointed to go. And see what that means. We were saved to be like Jesus. We were saved because to become like who he is. And that is the process of the Holy Spirit sanctifying, making us holy, righteous. We're already righteous once we're saved. We've been made right standing with God. We've been imputed that into our lives. So now we've been made right. So when God looks at you today, he, believe it or not, he looks at you as you're righteous. You're in right standing with God. Why? Because of the blood. It's because of his sacrifice that was done for us. And then he has called us to be like him, to become like him. And that is a process in which we surrender ourselves and let the anointing of God in us change us, set us free, break those bondages in our lives, and we become who he's called us to be. But we've also been anointed to go. We've been saved by God to be who we're called to be. But we've been anointed to go forth and fulfill the Great Commission. And when I hear the stories about going into the jail and obviously the prisons that we were already going, and then we hear street evangelism, my heart right now believes that in 2020 for this church, I would love to not only see every one of you here, plus the ones that are out in the parade and everyone's that are wherever. I don't want to just see you guys. I want to see alongside of you people that you're bringing into the kingdom, because the kingdom of God must grow. We are not, Christianity is not the fastest growing religion. Isn't Islam? Now, a lot of it's because they're birthing them really quick, too, by the way. Don't be fooled. So when you understand that there's a statement, I forget what great international leader, he was, someone can remind me the name. I don't know who it was. I don't want to throw out names because if you do, you'll mock me later for saying it. But he is also an Islamic leader. And he said, we might not take the world over because of growing Islam, but we'll do it by sheer numbers himself. Islam is growing at a rate of 7 to 1 as far as ratio for families. In America, we're growing about 1.6. In that the stats we talk about, 1.6, which means in America, we're not even procreating 2 to 1, which means we can't even sustain the life we have now. And so Islam's realizing that they're going to go. So here's the problem. If we're not procreating and getting new people born into Christian homes, we better go out and get other people saved to get them in, to make them Christians. Isn't that the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and teaching them to obey. We got to go forth and win them people. There are people right now that do not know Jesus, whether in jails or prisons, which we're going, or whether it's on the street. And I love the idea of going wherever it is. We have to believe that God has anointed us to go and fulfill the great. I said last week, Luke 16, these signs shall follow. Different Great Commission. It says, go into all the world. These signs shall follow those that believe. Follow means they should follow after you. You should be doing them now. It should be a part of who you are. And as much as I want to see miracles happen right here at this altar or right here in the chairs, which a couple weeks ago people stood up and God was healed. It was awesome testimonies, right? I want to see more of that. But I want to see it out there even more because that's where Jesus saw it happen. I see some of our college kids here. Mine's still up there. He said he's going to sleep in today. No. He's awake. Okay, mom texts him, I think, every day. Don't be fooled. But, you know, whether it's colleges or whether it's in your high schools or whether it's at your workplace, wouldn't it be great if signs and wonders followed you there? Because that's where the kingdom has to advance. We've got to get out of just believing that we have us four or no more, and we have our Holy Ghost time on Sunday mornings, and ooh, we got goosebumps, and we leave here all fired up. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the anointing? Have a great prayer meeting? That's great. What are we going to do? Prophesy over one another? That's good too. These aren't bad things, by the way. They're good things. But they're not the best. The best is to take that anointing and, you know, as you guys, I like Todd White. And I know just even this week I read something that he's building a bigger school and people are ripping him apart for wanting millions of dollars to build this big center. But he goes out to the streets and he's teaching people and training them up to go out in the streets and seeing those things happen right there in the streets. I watched a testimony video of him again this week where he went up there and he literally called this lady who was walking around the corner and goes, ma'am, and gave her a word of knowledge right there on the spot, told her about what God had for her life, and right there she got saved. Wouldn't it be cool if we were out there releasing that anointing that God's anointed us with to go forth and win the lost? He sees miracles happen. He prays for people get healed right there on the streets. And I want to happen. We shouldn't just be limited to the church, right? We should be passionate to go out and see the kingdom of God advance. So that being said, Acts chapter 1, Jesus has ascended. Chapter 1, they're still talking to him a little bit. But he's telling them, go and tarry, wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave there until you receive the promise of the Holy Ghost, which I've told you about. So in chapter 1, verse 4, they were being assembled together with them and commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John baptized you with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, saying, Lord, without the time you restore the kingdom of Israel. And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, for the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. We should be expanding the gospel and become witnesses. The Holy Ghost was not given to the New Testament church just to make us feel good. Even though Kenny did an amazing 75-week series on the Holy Spirit and who he was in our lives and how he teaches us, he trains us, he's with us all the time. We have learned all these great attributes about who the Holy Spirit is in our life and how what he can do to function through us and how we learn very clearly. I was actually listening to a sermon by Keith Moore this week. I don't know when it was, because when you click on their sermons, it could be from 25 years ago. But he was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he did one of the same things that Kenny did. He goes, and he referred to the Holy Spirit as it, and it shall come. He goes, hold, stop. And he did the same thing, Kenny, which I appreciate. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He is God, and we honor him as God. And that's what, if you didn't learn anything more than that on that 45-week series, it's that he is God and he is in you and he is in us and he is anointing us to go forth and do something greater and see the kingdom of God manifest on this earth. So how do we see this happen? Well, here's the thing. Last week we talked about all of you are anointed. But guess what happens when all of us come together? And I was going to do this really cool thing, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. But I will tell you the story that we were at a concert recently, and during all the slow songs, of course, all the lights get real dim, and they have one spotlight just on the singer, right? And they're just singing acoustically. And all of a sudden, you see one at a time cell phone, because it used to be, lighters, but that's illegal to bring them anywhere. So now it's cell phone lights, right? And you see one pop up at a time. And next thing you know, I don't know how many people, 20,000 people probably at the concert. About 20,000 people in this big arena starts putting on their flashlights, and it was brighter than when they put the house lights on. It was just LED lights from those, or whatever, the LED on your cell phones on. They're bright. And you're looking around because we like to kind of sit close to the floor. So we looked up around this thing, and all you could see are white lights everywhere. And it was as bright as the day. And I can't do that quite here. But when one person, it was so dark when that song started. All you could see is the spotlight on the singer. And next thing you know, one by one, the place just got bright. And you know what that analogy is? Just like us when we operate in the anointing. It doesn't get bright until it gets bright. You're bright. I mean, you put you in a dark room, you can still see the brightness of who you are. But when you get it magnified and you have a corporate effect where the anointing is one can slay 1,000, two can slay 10,000, and we start getting those lights magnifying, it becomes multiplication, not addition. The light becomes multiplied where it's actually brighter than it was if they turned the house lights up in that stadium in Louisville. And that stadium is pretty bright because that's where Louisville plays basketball. But then I'm telling you, this thing was as bright as the day as when all these lights were on. And that's how it is when the church is going to start shining again. We've got to realize, but we have to come together. That's what I do. I like the Wake the Dawn. They're talking, as Tim was talking about, there he is. I'm seeing Ken over there. But you guys Tim, you can't do this. You guys sit over there. That's your spot over there. Man, you're messing me up. Tim, he's not there. It's like I pointed and he's gone. It's a magic trick. Boom, there they are. But as they do, of course, they're all doing the same thing. By the way, on a side note, I was on my way to church this morning, listen to WCBK. And at 9:45, in case you didn't know, they said, and we'd like to hear it. There's a song by Ken and Deborah Smith. So I just want you to know that you were on the radio this morning. I listened to you on the way in. So you're like, what? Yep. I don't remember the name of the song. It's one of the songs, believe it or not, you must have done that I don't know the name of. But anyways, I heard you guys on the radio this morning. So look how surprised they are. Like, what, us? But what? We're celebrities. Here, autographs are afterwards. Set up a table over there. Okay, Awake the Dawn, or going out to the jails. That's why I love it. We got to get outside and believe that the kingdom has to be bigger than just going to church on Sunday mornings. We are anointed by God, empowered by God to do something. And then one of the greatest passions that I have going into the end of this year, into the beginning of next year, is the way that I want to see spirit life grow is by us going forth and being the anointed ones of God, doing what Jesus said in Acts 10:30, do good and heal those that are oppressed by the devil. Who are the ones oppressed by the devil? Yes, there might be a few of you in the room, but we'll talk about it later. You shouldn't be because you're anointed by God, bondage breaking, yoke destroying, power of God's in you. You shouldn't be. But in case, we got to get out there. They're the ones that need your help. They're the ones that need hope. They're the ones that need freedom. They're the ones that need your message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed you so you can go out and make a difference. I want to see this church grow because we don't just keep growing by bringing up, this whole, are we going to recruit people for to go to church or are we going to win souls? Let's start winning souls. Let's start telling them that Jesus loves them and they need a Savior, and that's what we got to do. And then we train them up, we equip them, we disciple them, and they become kingdom winners themselves. So with that being said, Acts 1, you should receive power. So they're waiting there. Jump back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And this is a powerful thing. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but this is powerful because this is what I believe that we're asking God to do. And I want you to see this analogy about the Old Testament, the New Testament coming to life. It's pretty awesome. All right, so backdrop. Solomon, they just got done with the temple. This big daddy's been built, gorgeous, followed everything by God's plan. And he says, okay, we're going to pray. So in chapter 6, he opens up this prayer. I want you to jump with me for the sake of time to verse 17. Now then, he's just continuing a prayer. You can read it before, it's fine. He addresses the people. We're going to pray all night. We're going to pray and believe God that when we open this temple, that God is going to keep his word. Now then, O Lord, God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken to thy servant David. But will God in very dwell with men on earth? Yes, he will. Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less with this building that we just built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayers of thy servant and the supplication, O Lord of our God. Hearken on the cry of our prayer, which thy servant prays unto thee, that thy eyes may be open upon this house, day and night upon this place where thou hast said thou would put your name thereon, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayed towards this place. Hearken, therefore, unto the supplications of your servant and the people of Israel, and they shall make toward this place, hear from the dwelling place from heaven, even when thou hearest, forgive. Now I'm going to stop there because then there's a really awesome thing that happens after that. But Solomon's praying, you promised David that if we build this place, you'll inhabit it. You promised David that if we will do this, you will do it. So here's what I want to do today. The two things that are going to be needed for us to go forth and to see this place turn to what God's called this place to be and us to go forth and do what we're called to be doing is two things, prayer and unity. Amen. These two people, you'll see this and this, and you'll see in Acts 1, or Acts 2, 1, they were all together in one accord, one place. You'll see that the prayer meeting that produced, now it didn't because Pentecost was going to happen, the Holy Ghost was going to come because it was promised by God. But what did they have to do? They had to shut themselves in the room for 40 days. They prayed and they were together and it says they were in one accord. The key factor in both Pentecost and this story that's about to happen in chapter 7 is they both set time aside to pray and get in unity. We want to get ourselves in one accord. And I'll get to the one accord in just a minute. We need to learn that prayer is more than just sitting there. It says, hear the supplication. Hear our hearts, God. And then I want you to mark this as you go through the scriptures. I want you to just, I'm gonna play some fun for you. Verse 23. Then hear from heaven. Verse 25, then hear from heaven. Verse 27, then hear from heaven. Verse 30, then hear from heaven. Verse 33, then hear from heaven. Verse 35, you see this, the first line, every verse. Then hear from heaven. Verse 39, then hear from heaven. If we, in every one of those, are Solomon praying, Lord, if our people do this, and we repent, and we come clean, then will we hear from heaven. If we go to war, another one, and we do this and this, then if we make ourselves right before you, then we'll hear from heaven. He's not looking for the perfect church. He's looking for a repentant church. He's looking for a church that will seek the forgiveness of their God and believe that the sacrifice is their lives in there. And what I want you to see, there's a great analogy to what's going to happen here is that you see Solomon's praying the same prayer a New Testament prayer should pray. Lord, if we as a church would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then we'll see the manifestation of heaven on earth again in this place. The anointing of God is going to be compounded when we come together in this place. Look what happens in one of my favorite verses, actually. Well, that was a lot of them. Let's jump to verse 40. No. Verse 39. Let's just go there. Then hear from heaven, from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause and forgive your people which have sinned against you. Again, multiple times he just said the same thing over and over again. I just read them to you. We'll do this and then we'll hear from heaven. Now, my God, let this be a prayer for us this morning. I beseech you, I beg you, that your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now, with that being said, now with us praying that your ears and your eyes are towards this place, arise, O Lord God, from your resting place. For thou art and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face from thine anointed. And thine what? Thine what? Thine anointed. The anointed ones are praying. There's a power when the anointed ones come. Solomon wasn't by himself during this prayer. There was prayer. There was an awake the dawn happening right there in this day. They were praying together, just like they were at Pentecost. Remember the mercies of thy servant David. Now when Solomon had made an end of his praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. How'd that happen? How'd that happen? They prayed together. They reminded God of his covenant they had with their dad and that their dad's dad. Remember, you're the God of covenant. Remind you. Hey, remember you said if we build it, you'll come. A movie copied that line, didn't it? If you build it, they'll come. We did it. And now we're believing that when we did what you said, you'll do it. I know that your presence can't be contained in this house. That's why we have many houses. But if we do, and we keep seeking you, we keep bringing confession and keeping ourselves in the right place, we'll hear from heaven, and heaven will come to this earth and transform us. Does that sound like a good church service to you? It doesn't sound like Sunday morning as normal. It sounds like people came in ready, expecting, hungry. If you came in this morning, prayered up, ready to go, for the fire to fall, and now here's the Old Testament. It consumed this. The New Testament was it consumed people. I wrote this down in my notes. Back in the day, when the fire fell, it consumed a place. In the New Testament, fire falls and consumes a new temple. It's us. We are the temple of God. And we are to cry out day and night, God, come and consume and let your fire fall on this place right here. This place meaning Adam. In our connect groups that we were doing, Heaven on Earth, Bill Johnson book, one of the nights we're talking about, I think Tim was sharing some stuff about praying for revival. What is the prayer for revival all about? Lord, come and let your fire fall on me today. Come and consume this heart. Take away anything that's not of you. Bring me to a place where I see the glory of God come in my life. Imagine if the glory of God, if you did this by yourself, imagine, and this will just, woo! Imagine if every one of us came in here like that. There can't help but be a cloud. I don't, but here's the next thing. They didn't, once the cloud came, it messed up all church. And the priest, verse 2, could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. There was no more room. The glory took all the room. We couldn't have any place. They couldn't come in. The glory was there. And when all the children of Israel saw, the world saw, how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. I'll stop there, even though there's more. There's so much more. Go to Acts chapter 2 with me now. I took my placeholder out. All right, you see, that's the Old Testament. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, what were they doing, by the way, in there? They were all in one accord in one place praying. It sounds to me like we have a little Second Chronicles 6 action going on here, where they were praying beforehand, praying, seeking the face of God, and calling out God. And why were they there? Because God promised them something would happen. Just like Solomon was praying the promises of David and what God said to David, now this group was praying the promises that God, Jesus spoke to them. And they were waiting on the promise to be fulfilled. See how that works? They are praying the word. They are praying the will of God. They were praying the word of God. And we sang that song this morning. It's finished. So our prayer life ought to be more of a victorious stance of prayer than a crying out for something to maybe, possibly, kind of, sort of, should have maybe happened. I want to pray a declaration. I was praying to someone this week. They were longing for their one of their children to be saved who's not with the Lord. So I was talking to him. I said, listen, I'm going to believe with you right now, you and your household should be. And I get that from Scripture. And so I showed him the Scripture. The jailer and a couple of others. It says it three times, by the way. That you and your household, I'm believing for the God, Word of God to work in your life. Well, has it happened yet? It depends on how you look at it. Yes, in faith it's happened. Because I'm believing God's Word. God's Word doesn't fail. So yes, in one sense. Has it naturally came to pass? Not yet. But are we waiting for the manifestation of God's Word in your life? Are you praying and covering over that Word? Yes, we are. So I'm believing with you that God's Word would come to pass in you, your family, your family's family, their family's family, and we're going to continue to see the generation of blessing in your life by the presence of God. Amen? So they were on one accord, they were praying, and suddenly there came the sound of heaven of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the house they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon them. And the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem. And I'll stop because I need to start going out there. They noticed, we got to keep going because you're going to see the same thing happen. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation. And when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together. They were confounded because everyone spake to them in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, well, aren't these those guys from Galilee? They can't do this. Same story. Not quite the same, but close. They prayed, and the glory, the fire came. In the New Testament, the fire of God came and consumed them that were seated. In the Old Testament, the fire of God came and consumed the temple. Either way, the fire of God wants to come and consume us and then to go forth. I believe that the corporate anointing, the corporate unity that happens, this is why it's imperative that I believe the church stays connected. And this is why do I go to church on Sunday mornings? So I can go say hi to my friends? Sure, why not? That's actually part of the biblical model in Acts 2. They came together for the fellowship of the saints. Fellowship's a vital part of the New Testament. But they came to hear the apostles' teaching. But more than that, they came together as anointed ones to become an anointed group. And that corporate anointing would be magnified. And I would like to see the glory of God and the presence of God magnify in this place. And so people's lives can be transformed by the presence of God and the Word of God. The greatest vision I have for this church right now is that on Sunday mornings we begin to honor the Word and His presence and the worship, that we become such a place in our lives that the worship changes us and the Word transforms us also. Those two things right there, the Word, He is the Word, and His presence, which is the same, will transform a person every time they walk in here. But how do we get them in here? We're anointed to go and call them forth. Let me go to Psalms. Let's just close here. Psalms 133. Take a breath. Feel like an athlete, you know. Whew. Working so hard up here. Isn't that sad? Back in the day, I never would have thought that, huh? The greatest workout you get on Sunday morning is preaching. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Psalms 133. One of these great, great promises that we have. How good and pleasant is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descends upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The anointing, the oil would go to Moses' head. And the analogy was it started with the head, it went down to the beard, and after the beard it went down to the garments. And What's the most amazing thing about this was when you get a few drops on your head, it's one thing. But it's a drop, then it goes down, and it just saturates. And that's how the church should be. Down here with the church where Jesus is the anointed one, and we are the anointed ones that follow after him now, we should be soaked in that anointing. It's like the dew drops from the top of this large mountain, and by the time it gets down there, it gets into a river that's one of the strongest rivers. Why? Because it has power when it flows down. It flows down. It flows right through us. And the power of God should be flowing so strong through our lives, because the anointing is not just for you to gaze at how beautiful the mountain is, but it's for you to let that anointing flow through you so people's lives can be changed. I love, and I've said this before, I love the fact that we as a church believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, and we believe in prophecy and tongues, and we believe in healings and miracles, signs and wonders. I love that, and we'll never change that because that's who I am. But what I would also love is that we love souls as much as that. There are real people, I said this last week, I'll say it again, that are going to hell that you know. And we ought to be able to, maybe don't lose sleep over it, because I don't want you to lose your sleep. But it should make you go to bed with a knot going, that person still doesn't know Jesus. And if they die tomorrow, have I made an impression on their life enough to know that because of me, they know who Jesus is? I love the cares. I love it. I really do. I'm not trying to diminish what we do. I love what we do here. But I would love it more. And I made these comments. The Charismatic Pentecostal Church has done an amazing job teaching people how to walk in their gifting, walk in the anointing, live in the gifts of Spirit, promote them. But we've done a less excellent job at winning souls. When we grew up, there's a Baptist church right down the road from us. And that church would have VBS, it would have Awana, it would have everything. It would have every which way you can. And I mean, we had people, there was no doubt in my mind that that church was out there trying to win their neighborhoods. But we're not doing a great job at it. We're not doing a great job. I was telling this last week to Tim afterwards. Not the Calvary Chapel Worship Center down there in Newport Richey, Florida, where they have. Not that's not a perfect church. It's a really good church. And when, as we were at lunch with Pastor Strayer a couple years ago now, he shared some great things that actually I'm still chewing on, and hopefully we're going to be implementing some of those things he shared with me. I just took a lot of notes, and it took a few years to get there, but we're going to. But I was telling Tim, that's a charismatic church. Man, their Sunday morning praise and worship is phenomenal. Their Thursday night meetings, when they come together and pray, and they seek the face of God, and the presence of God is mighty there, and the gifts of the Spirit, and they're teaching, their classes, they got a lot of things going on in their church. But you know, they have a pastor who bleeds for souls to be saved. He wants souls saved. And I want to tell you, I want souls saved. I want people to know that they have a chance to get to know Jesus. We have been called to fulfill. We've been anointed to fulfill the Great Commission. As much as we're anointed to have church, have a great band, I mean, you can't ask for a better band, can we? I mean, you can't feel the presence and experience the presence of God here. I feel sorry, because you're not listening to me. You're not in it. We've been anointed. We are blessed by God to have a lot of great things, but I want to make them greater. And the way we make them greater is to let people know they have Jesus to live for. And look at this. The way that we do that is we got to get united. We got to have a church that prays, which we do. Diane's leading a prayer. We've been praying and believing God for increase and things that are going on. But the prayer and the unity have to come together. There needs to be unity, where we're not gossiping and slandering. We're not talking bad about each other. You know what? We might do things differently, but hopefully we have the same results, the same goal in mind. Someone else might look a little different in their worship than you, but it doesn't mean we can't worship the same God differently. Some of you are a little bit louder, more expressive. Some are quieter. I mean, David danced almost naked before God. I mean, come on. There are some different ways out there. I'm not saying we suggest that. I mean, that's not something we're promoting here. Just let you know. Not encouraging it one bit, okay, in case there was any miscommunication there. We're not encouraging at all. We like to keep your clothes on in church. All of them. That's a whole different topic. We want you to enjoy the presence of God. And some of you want to dance, you want to work. Hey, we're enjoying God's presence. Let's encounter him. That's the most important part. And if you're encountered with God, you can put your hands in your pocket and feel the anointing of God. Amen. If you got to be hands up in the air, woohoo, put them up there. Let's get to a point where we have an encounter with God. It doesn't matter what the outside looks like. It's about the heart. and we do that. And once we have that encounter, we're united as one. And then here's the promise that I want to close with. This is what we live for. For there, the commanded, the blessing of the Lord forevermore. When the people are in unity and the anointing is flowing down, that is the blessing of God for us. There, the commanded, where is the commanded blessing of the Lord lie? When his people are in unity. So today, I'm going to unify us. I know I got to close because Kenny said I have to 11:40, so I took an extra 10 minutes on parade day. I know we always say 11:30, but we realize half you guys around talk anyways. The gate, they don't even shut streets off. Where we go, you could actually come in at 1:30 and still get there. Now, there'll be no food, by the way, at 1:30 on a side note. But we want the command and blessing of the Lord here. And how does that happen? It took people living in that anointing in unity with one another. Let's get in unity. Let's stop letting our differences divide us. I am going to share one story. I probably shouldn't, but I will. Did you guys see last week during the Dallas Cowboys game? Yeah, who are they playing? The Eagles? No, no. Who are they playing? No. What? Packers, thank you. Yeah, that's right, because they're the ones that won. Probably should remember. They should have called the Packers game. And they did that shot of the stands up in those box seats, and you saw President George W. Bush. Saw that? Did you see who's sitting next to him? Ellen DeGeneres. You know, it's amazing. She was ridiculed horribly for sitting next to this warmonger president, hateful, blah, blah, blah. And yet, there are people going, how could George W. Bush be next to that gay person? Both sides were hating. And yet, isn't it funny? I don't know where they stand with the, well, that doesn't matter. I'm not going to go there. I don't know what political, whatever figures they have, but Ellen said, isn't it where we as a group, which obviously she's big into the community of lesbian, gay, bi, whatever they call it all, she said, we have told everybody they got to be accepting and loving of lifestyles, yet we can't be loving and friendly to be kind to. We say be kind, but what, only be kind to our kind? This is coming from a worldly person, definitely someone who has not acknowledged Jesus as their Lord. Okay? And over here we got George E. Bush, and of course I didn't hear any comments that was said by his camp at all. By the way, he's probably like, yeah, I'm used to getting attacked. I was president for 8 years. People hate me. He knows it. Part of life, right? But isn't it funny? The national media, not on Monday, not on Tuesday, but I even read something yesterday about how people are still attacking these two for sitting next to each other because they're so different and each group could not stop hating one another. Now, let's skip that forward to the church because there's no analogy at all that I can share on that one. But isn't it sad that as Christians, because someone believes in speaking in tongues and someone doesn't, we can't sit next to each other? If someone believes that, you know, you have to be this to be saved, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. We should be able to sit together and be united. Well, you over here don't believe in once saved, always saved. You believe, you know, who cares? I was reading an article just this week. We were talking about a Bible college, and I'm not going to mention the name of it, who they were defining. Is this a Reformed theology? Do they teach Calvinism? Or do they teach it? And one of them goes, well, I know there are professors that teach us, but I also had one that doesn't. And I'm thinking, this is your problem now. We're trying to divide based on differences rather than letting our differences be separate so we can be united. We have got to come together and put these differences aside and realize that if you believe in, my brother's here, I love him, whether you believe in election or don't, we still love Jesus the same. That man right there cares about souls. You know what? Isn't it funny? As much as I don't agree with some of those doctrines, some of the greatest soul winners are the people. Isn't it funny? We rip their doctrine apart. Yeah, they're winning souls more than you are, so you better be careful. Wait a minute, they're the ones winning souls. Why are we not? Because we just think somehow we could do hocus pocus and boom, it happens. No, it takes us to go forth. How will they hear, Paul says, without a messenger? How are they going to know the good news if they don't hear the good news? And this is what I'm commissioning, and I'm anointing us to go forth and do. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. And let's see the Great Commission fulfilled right here in Martinsville and the surrounding areas. Let's start at Wake in the Dawn. Let's start the jails. Let's start everywhere we go. Let's start at Walmart and Kroger and anywhere else you want to go. We are anointed by God, but when we come together, we're the corporate anointing. Let's come together, stay anointed, and let the presence of God magnify. I know I'm late today, so let me hurry up and let you know. Yes. Oh. Yeah, go.
Mm-hmm.